We make this.
Everyone and welcome to We Made Treks, a conversation across all the We Made Star Trek podcasts on the We Made This Podcast Network. That includes Make It So, Rarely Going, and We Are Starfleet. We are here to discuss the San Diego Comic-Con 2022, which has been this weekend, the weekend of the 22nd, 23rd, 24th of July. My name is Kurt North, and joining me is executive producer of the We Made This Podcast Network, Mr. Tony Black. Hello, Tony.
Beaming in from Starfleet headquarters. Not Starfleet Academy, I'm too old for that now. Definitely be Starfleet headquarters. I'd have a desk job. So I'm just beaming in from a boring desk job to talk about some exciting Star Trek stuff.
Okay, in time, mate, you maybe could do the gardening. That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Well, I tell you what, I feel like Boothby sometimes. I really do. Actually, no, he's fitter than me. He's much fitter than me. So, yeah, that's true.
So we're here to talk about San Diego Comic Con. We decided to do this last night because we're really organised people. You know, us on the network. I was watching this. I had a really interesting sort of 24 hours. I'm just coming off the back of COVID, so I haven't been very well, but. I was tweeting about other shows, and then I noticed that the Star Trek panel was coming on. So there's quite a few things to delve into. Have you seen any of the Comic-Con panels, Tony, or am I guiding the way and giving you all the gossip and all the news?
I haven't watched the panels, but I've seen the key information, I would say, from all of them, all three. So I'm happy to follow your lead, but I think I'll have a gist on the big beats. But you might surprise me along the way. Who knows?
Yeah, I've made some notes today that I've squandered around the internet on watching, and I was watching some various like feeds and stuff like that. Terry Metalis has been tweeting out and things like that as well. So there's a few things joining around the internet. Now, obviously, I will put a proviso. I have not been to San Diego Comic-Con. I wasn't there in person.
Nope, me neither.
We're just reflecting on what we've seen. So if we get something desperately wrong, then we apologise, but that's just the way things are.
I'm sure you'll tell us, and that's okay.
Exactly. We are a broad church in this network. We're a broad church. So let's start with Friday. Did you on Friday they had the Star Trek Resurgence panel? Did you see any of that at all?
I didn't. I missed that bit completely. But have they announced an actual release date yet for this?
No.
No. That's all right now. That's all I'm interested in. You know, I just want to know when it's coming out. What did you find out?
Nothing much. There's going to be a character coming on, which they've been really happy to write for. Andrew Grant had said that it's a beloved character from Star Trek who does appear in the game. So bearing in mind, it's what, TNG era. I think some tweets have gone out. Is it going to be O'Brien, for example?
Maybe. Probably a Starfleet officer, given the concept of the game. So, yeah, but that's still a broad field. Could be anyone.
Yeah, exactly. So that I think from what I've seen...
Reg Barkley.
Reg Barkley. That would be good. Yeah, and I think there was a couple of things. I mean, it was quite a small one, and as I say, I've not paid too much attention to this one. Just quickly grabbed a couple of screen grabs. There was a great question talking about writing, just on how much you have to develop for a game. So, you know... I know you do the Ask Me About the Loom thing with multiple choice stuff, but if you're writing a standard episode of Star Trek, you're talking 50 to 55 pages, where you're looking at more like 1,500 pages for a game like this.
Wow.
So, forgive them a little bit on developing the graphics and making the choices and doing all the beta program testing and stuff like that. So, but yeah, we'll see when that airs. In the near future. Well, hopefully it'll be by the end of the year, I would have hoped for anyway.
They just need to stop putting in an actual release date until they know for sure, because they said spring 2022.
They did.
So I'd say it's coming soon. That's where I'd go for it. But I can't wait for it either way.
Absolutely. Right, okay, let's go into my baby, Star Trek Picard.
Mm.
I'm guessing you've seen the little teaser trailer. It's different to what we've had in the past, in that it's just basically talking heads, really. We can go through them line by line, if you like, and just to see if we can gather what we've got from it. So we basically, the trailer is all of the characters that we currently have on screen, with one in particular that I really enjoyed, which I'm sure most people will know who that is, all in uniform or non-uniform, and giving a couple of lines of dialogue and potentially giving us an idea of what their theme is going to be for the season. So Picard starts off by saying, "You're the only as good as those around you," which is kind of an opening gambit. But we do get to see Geordi. Geordi is alive, Tony. Geordi's alive.
Hey. Oh, good. Geordi is alive. Good. those damn comics, eh? They made us think all kinds of things. Well, that's good. I mean, I think we always assumed he was,
we did.
Didn't we, really?
So his line is, "Those days on the Enterprise made me a better man, a better father, and a better friend."
Oh. So he's a dad. Has he ended up with, what was her name? Dr. Brahms. Was it Dr. Leah Brahms? Was that her name?
No, Leah Brahms is right, isn't it? She was the holodeck story, wasn't it? Where she and he met her in real life. Maybe, potentially. That might be a shout.
Galaxy's Child or something like that, I think. I can't quite remember the name of the episode. But yeah, he had a romance, didn't he, with her? Maybe they got together and he's had a kid.
Potentially. But I've heard on the grapevine, and again, this was through about the second or third information, that Misha Burton's actually playing the daughter.
Oh, so
it's actually
okay.
LeVar Burton's daughter that's playing her. So,
well, that shoots my theory to shit then, doesn't it? Probably.
But yeah, I thought I'd hold that back. So Seven, I thought I could inspire people, bring justice to an unjust universe. I mean, we've seen a lot of Seven, so that for me isn't really anything above the norm from what we've seen of Seven, is it really?
Does it suggest that she's the Starfleet career that potentially she's about to have hasn't really gone to plan, maybe? You know, because she was lined up, wasn't she, to be captain of the Stargazer a captain by the end of season two. So is there a bit of a time jump here, and has it maybe not gone as she thought it would? Because she sounds a bit regretful in that.
Yeah, well Terry, I mean, we'll talk about this when we get to Worf, but Terry kind of mentions a few times about the pips. And is it a captain? Is he a captain? Is he not a captain? Mm. We're not in the same timeline, so it'd be interesting to see where we are, what year we're in, because I think it sounds to me like we're going to be a little bit more in the future than we anticipate, I think. Kurtzman had said that Jerry Ryan's 709 will be who the identity of Starfleet are and where she fits in. So it sounds like it is going to be that. Is she a square peg in a round hole? Is this really just the nice fit that, you know, that she had at the end of Farewell on Star Trek Picard, or... You know, it's actually got to grapple with that. Sir Patrick Stewart has said that as well. All the characters are trying to find their feet in several different ways. So I think that will come to a head. And I think that's probably where we'll go in with it.
Sounds about right. And I suppose a lot will depend on, for Seven, whether or not she's got a life beyond this season of Picard, whether they want to do more with the character. So it's whether or not this is the end for her as well as a character, or they're going to... I would suspect not. I think that there will be more Seven in some future Star Trek show, whereas I think this will be the final hurrah for a lot more of these guys, the ones who are coming back.
Yeah, I would say so as well. Rafi, you have no idea how hard it is to be in this world. I mean, we've, again, going back to sort of the two seasons of Picard that we've had, she struggled with quite a few things over the course of the two seasons, so that doesn't really... give us too much, but again, it's kind of like very kind of in keeping with her character over the last two seasons of Picard.
I'm hoping for the Raffi of season two as opposed to the Raffi of season one, because I like the Raffi of season two much more. I thought she was funnier and a little bit more, she was better written, so I'm hoping that they won't necessarily make her quite as maudlin as she felt in that first season, but we'll see.
Then next, Mr. Worf. Mr. Worf.
Yes!
How good does he look?
Man alive. He looks the absolute Don. Like, it's such a great... Because he's obviously got a white beard. He's got, like, white hair. Worf is 100% the character that I think almost everybody who loved Next Generation and DS9 have wanted to see come back over these years. There's all the talk of the Captain Worf show and, you know, various... he's the one. He's the one outside probably of Picard that people will be most excited about. So I just really want to know where he is. Where is he? What is he doing? You know, I mean, because I don't think he's going to be in line with the novel maybe that Una McCormack wrote, The Last Best Hope, where he was captain of the Enterprise. Or maybe he was, and that has in his past who knows? What do you think in terms of where he might be placed? Do we have any idea?
Yeah, I mean, Terry Metalis was tweeting out because people were saying he's got four pips on his collar, indicates he's a captain, and he's been very coy in saying things like, oh, you'll see, we're not necessarily in that timeline. People are mentioning in the book, we're not quite possibly there. So I don't know how much they'll stick to canon with Una McCormack's book, but it does feel to me that Terry is fully aware that these questions were going to come up. It doesn't seem like... Terry seems to be one of those people who is anticipating these things. So the fact that he's saying stuff like that, I think it bodes well for what we might see. And I think Worf himself has had that duality right through the whole of Next Generation. So the fact that he has to decide between the Klingon Empire and the Starfleet, and like I think that's going to be maybe portrayed out again. Has he taken time out? Has he been on detached duty or what? I think that's going to be interesting.
What does he say?
He says, and they always start with like quite interesting like verbiage, don't they? So it's like, do not presume to know what I have and have not sacrificed for this.
Okay. Yeah. That's vague, but very Worfy. And who knows? I mean, getting that balance between the Klingons and Starfleet absolutely should be part of it. I don't think they're going to do a lot with that stuff because they're not going to have time. You know, they're not going to have as many episodes. No. And I'm sure it would be cooking there in the background. But yeah, I'm pretty confident he's going to be the guy we remember. I mean, having seen Riker and Troy from this old ensemble, they got those guys right, you know, when we've seen them in this show. Yeah. So I'm confident Worf and Geordi and the rest of them are going to be the characters we remember. So I'm stoked. I don't mind what they do. I'm just really excited to see him again.
Terry also went online and said that the sword on Worf's back is called a Kerleth, and it was designed by the creator of the Batleth as well.
Dan Curry,
yeah. And we will see him use it.
Yes. Bring it on.
Also, as well, my note underneath that, which I didn't talk about before, is it's Commodore LaForge, is what Terry had called him.
Ah.
So he's a Commodore.
Okay. So he's big, more of a big wig. That's fair enough. So it's definitely a different timeline from when he was captain of the, whatever it was, in Voyager. He was captain, wasn't he, of that ship? Or maybe he was. Maybe he was captain of that ship, and he's just, because this is years later. Yeah. So maybe he's had a long and distinguished career.
Yeah, and his eyes look great as well.
I should hope so. After all this time, all the technology upgrades.
We then have Deanna, who says, you have to be willing to go through that door to what's next.
So transition, moving on, all that stuff. That's, yeah.
Which leads into a bit on Picard, because apparently that it was said that the emphasis on this season is who Picard is now and explores the past attempt for Picard dealing with the trauma that he had and has found out since season two. So it sounds like they are going to look into Jean-Luc's kind of reaction to what happens at the end of season two, which having saying Deanna to go walking through that door, I mean, what kind of Picard are we going to see coming out of this?
Yeah, makes you wonder.
Riker, there's a whole universe out there. Wherever you go, we go.
Oh, well, yeah. He's best mate. Teammate, you know. And that's the thing, isn't it? It does feel like it's dragging them all back together, and that team that they had on the Enterprise has never gone away. So I think that'll be a key factor to this. And you saw a little bit of that in the Nepenthe, didn't you? And, you know, when Riker shows up in season one to help him out and that kind of thing. But, yeah. That sums up the whole mission statement, I guess, really.
And then we've got Beverly. So we see Beverly Crusher for the first time. Here in this moment, let's do what we spend our lives learning to be great at. Or we spent our lives learning to be great at.
Okay. She's going to do a lot of talking to her grandmother's ghost, or grandmother's ghost lover or something.
Yeah, I've been seeing on Twitter, Star Trek Twitter recently, just people putting up like the ghosts from Star Wars, like Anakin and Obi-Wan Kenobi, with Beverly sitting in the front. Stuff like that.
Endlessly memeable, isn't it?
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Well, I actually went away and thought, how am I going to get the space ghost in from X-Files into that?
That's another challenge.
I need to work that out.
Look that up, guys. Look that up, guys. You don't know what we're on about. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Bev is one of the characters we've not seen anything of. You know, we've had mentions of Geordi in the novel, in the comics. You know, we've had mention of Worf in one of the books. We've had, obviously, we've seen Riker and Troi.
Yeah.
We've seen lots of Brent Spiner in various different, you know, capacities and stuff. Bev is a big question mark. So it's going to be interesting to see her come back. And, you know, there's lots of question marks. I mean, Gates McFadden has said, I think, that it's some of the best material she's ever had, which,
yeah.
I mean, I think is more of a testament to how shittily used Beverly was in TNG, frankly, compared to a lot of the other characters.
Yeah.
But also, shittily is not a word, but it is now. I've just made that word up.
Shittily going where no one has gone before.
It's our new tagline, yeah. But the question, I think, will be, are we going to have a bit of a love triangle here? Are we going to have Picard, Laris and Bev? Or are they going to do anything with that? Or are they just going to completely ignore that and just have Bev as part of the team? I think it could go either way, to be honest.
Gates has said that their characters are all different. They've all evolved over the last 25 years, which, yeah, I understand that. It's perfectly understandable. And then it goes back to Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard, and to say... as long as you and your crew remain steadfast, you are never without hope.
It's teamwork. That is exactly what this will be. It's bringing the band back together for a big final. Well, I think Kurtzman described it as the last Next Generation movie, didn't he? Just over like however many episodes. So they're definitely going probably for a very serialized, you know, movie spread across a season vibe with this. A big adventure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think somebody had asked as well, would you be averse to doing another Next Generation movie? And these are one of those questions get fired out there and they say, you know, there's always a possibility. And it's like, getting a rise out of the audience. It's like, you've got no plans to do that. You know, that's just deal with it. Also, Kurtzman had said, I want to get your opinion on this because I know what you're like.
What does that mean?
Kurtzman has said, okay. Listen to this. Alex Kurtzman has said, they wanted to take time over the past two seasons before they brought back any TNG characters. Do you think at the beginning of season one, when they were scripting and posting and saying, right, okay, well, we'll maybe have, you know, Riker and Troi, obviously halfway through the writing, but at that point, yeah, we'll do a three season arc, but we'll put everyone in back end of the third season.
Nah,
do you think that was really a plan or not?
Because if you track back to what they were saying right at the very beginning, the reason that Patrick Stewart said yes to doing this in the first place was because it was completely different. Was that it was going to be him in a completely different zone, a different space. He'd had tons of scripts, tons of offers over the years to come back and play Picard again and do the same thing again and have the... And he kept saying, no, I'm done. And then they came to him with this idea of season one, which... the season may not have necessarily been perfect, but the concept behind it was really interesting and really good. And I got why he wanted to do that with Picard. No chance. It's only since... The fan outcry and all of these kind of things have said, we want those guys back, we want those guys back, we want those guys back, that Stewart has gone, oh, well, fine, let's do it then. Absolutely no way was this the plan at the beginning. But that's okay. Things evolve, don't they? Things change. You know, Picard has moulded to fit the audience a bit more as time has gone on, for better or worse sometimes. It's a mixed bag. But this, there's no way, I think... anyone who loves Star Trek and TNG would not think this was a fitting way to go out for Picard. I absolutely think if you're gonna do it, go big or go home. And I think they're gonna go big.
There's a couple of things as well that Kurtzman mentioned, which I think I can look at here. That's basically he said he doesn't want to have cameos but serious roles. That's promising. The fact that they are.
Yeah.
I think there's eight characters on the poster, Brent Spiner not being one of them. He is going to be an old new character.
It's just going to be another song, isn't he? So, because that's all he does now. It's going to be another song of some way. I mean, let's hope it's Lore, but I'd be surprised because I think Lore would be the villain of the piece. And from what he's saying, the villain's going to be female. So, unless Lore is also a villain, I don't know. But. We'll see. I doubt it's Lore. It'll be another song.
Yeah, and speaking of females, so on the panels themselves, they were saying that the focus is very much to have more female-led TV shows. And we'll talk about the two shows towards the end that were announced. But they weren't announced. We don't know what they are, but there was announced that there's two in development. The antagonist for this one's going to be a female, and apparently they take great inspiration from the Wrath of Khan. I did say at the end of season two, and I was a bit like, please do something with it, or like you say, go home. Because if they link into Khan, which is a different question to what they're saying, I think. If they link to Khan and have an interesting story and development around it, then great, I'll enjoy that. If they kind of drop it and we don't hear from it again, what was the point? Like I said at the end of Farewell. They are saying that this takes a great inspiration of Khan, which tends to me to think more of a Moriarty, Sherlock, mind games, maybe spanning across the universe, playing, putting people in danger, that kind of thing, more than actually something that related to the genetics thing. But I could be wrong, but I know we've talked offline about this, and I know a lot of people are straight away saying it's Seller. Is that too obvious? Could it be Leah Brahms, for
example? Leah Brahms is the great villain. I think Seela, I'd love, and you said this to me yesterday. I think there's two reasons why I don't think they'd do it. Number one, you've got to explain a bit for Seela for it to make sense, really. And two, I don't know, as much as having Denise Crosby back would be great, because it would fit that, last connective puzzle of TNG. I don't know if she fits that Wrath of Khan mould quite in that way they're talking about. It sounds to me that they will, and I think they're more likely, who knows whether it will connect to Khan. There is a possibility it might, given the end of season two. It's possible that might be the case. That might be what they've been teeing up here, that it's not any other project, it's this season. Mm. And now they've mentioned Wrath of Khan, there could actually be a tether to that in this. Who knows? I mean, it could go anywhere. All I hope is, because I wasn't jazzed by that Khan stuff, I won't lie, all I'd hope is that it's not a Narissa from season one. It's this ridiculous leather-clad, hammy villain. Mate, I just hope she's a well-written, interesting character that isn't just recycling what we've seen before. They've tried to recycle Wrath of Khan how many times? They did it with Nemesis, and it didn't really work.
Yeah.
He's a callback we don't need. We don't need it again. We've had it however many times, So if they're going to do it, I just hope that they do it well, and that she's a well-written character. I'm just sad it puts paid to the theory that Ian McKellen might be in it as the villain. Because he was on set, wasn't he, at some point. So... I was hoping that they might announce that, but alas.
I would have liked Narissa more had she stayed more of an infiltrated Starfleet officer, personally, just going back to season one. I think it would have worked better in that regard.
Yeah.
Ironically, kind of what Harrison did in Star Trek Into Darkness for a bit before he blew up. So.
John Harrison, who obviously nobody suspected at all was anyone other than John Harrison. I remember him.
Yeah. Those were the days. So Patrick Stewart mentioned a couple of times, or once, that he Professor X and Picard have both been a bit more internalized for him, which we've talked about before on the podcast about where does Patrick Stewart begin and where does Jean-Luc start. I don't think there was anything else that jumps to mind, unless there's something that you've seen.
There's one thing he said which I think everyone will be delighted about, that we are definitely going back to the Enterprise or an Enterprise.
Oh, yes.
Which I don't know what that is potentially going to look like. My guess is it's going to be the Enterprise G or whatever we're on now, whatever it is in that, and it will be a new captain, that kind of thing. But I think, unless there's some time travel shenanigans they're going to do and they're going to yank out the old D set and all the... Who knows? But the fact we'll go... Everyone knows there's going to be a moment where Picard sits in that Enterprise chair and says, engage, or make it so. It's going to happen. It's pound to a penny, it's going to happen. So, I can't wait for that. Who cares if it's fan service? I don't give a toss in this case. I'm happy to see that. That's fine.
There was actually... And another comment he made saying that he forgot they had carpets. So, which given the like given the Twitter sphere on the Stargazer is interesting in itself.
Yeah, it is.
Right, okay, let's move on then straight on to Strange New Worlds, because, and then we'll go into Lower Decks. And the reason why I'm doing that for is for a particular reason.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I struggled to find anything much on Strange New Worlds. I don't know about you, but I saw that Ethan Peck had said that in the season two that he's going to wrestle with his human side more. So I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, so fine. Okay. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, I've confessed I've only seen the first four episodes of Strange New Worlds because I'm waiting for them all to land on Paramount Plus in the UK, and I'm going to binge the last six. But I really enjoyed the first four. I've got a huge amount of goodwill towards this show. I know it's got a lot of fans. And, you know, it's great. Look, fine. But Spock is Spock at the end of the day. Like, what more can you really say about him? We know the guy he ends up being. Ethan Peck, he's not playing a different... We know he's going to become the Leonard Nimoy character. There is only so far you can ever go with it. It's just talk, really. It's like, fine. Okay. Yeah. You explore his human side. Fine. It's Spock at the end of the day. Shrug.
That's fine. Yeah, no. Paul Wesley as Kirk. Are you aware of anything?
I know he rocks up, doesn't he, at the end of season one. But I don't know much more about the context and that kind of thing. I'm looking forward to it. Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I know he's got a big role, I think, in season two, hasn't he? He's quite a key character.
Yeah, he's going to be a lieutenant on the USS Farragut. They also mentioned about Dr. Mbenga, who's not going anywhere, apparently. So that's good. Says they're not there to talk about canon so much. And there was a conversation about sort of the TOS characters as well that, you know, that we could be seeing between Hemmer and Scotty, another engineer.
Oh, okay.
So we're not going to go straight from Hemmer to Scotty.
Right,
so.
Cool. Okay, that's good.
And I think that's all I saw. Did you see anything else on Strange New Worlds, apart from the main thing, which we will talk about in a second?
Not really, no. It was fairly just... I think there was a bit of chat about Anson Mount's amazing hair, which...
Well, absolutely.
You know, what you have to talk about his amazing hair, because it is amazing. That's it, really, yeah. The big kahuna was what we're going to discuss now, isn't it, really?
It is. Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds. I'm going to do a crossover episode.
How is this going to work? How is this going to work? Like, I is it going to be... I mean, because they've talked, haven't they, about the possibility of the fact the actual voice artists look enough like the characters they're playing in Lower Decks that they could conceivably become live action. Certainly Mariner and Boimler, I think. You could have...
The cross-play, didn't they? Yeah. I think was it the Chicago one?
I think they did, didn't they? So I'd be well happy to see live action versions of those, particularly those two. I think would and you know maybe also Tendi as well. I think that'd be great fun. Actually, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it'd be good. I think it'd be interesting to see how they do it. I was thinking about this last night, and on what they could do. They've got the virtual walls now, so they could actually have like actors actually within the frame, kind of not Roger Rabbit style, but you know you could have using the actual LED walls that they've got.
Mm.
To portray part of, like, say, the Cerritos or something like that. I'd really like to see it done in a nuanced way in that, you know, it's not too thing that you might get to see real-life versions of Boimler and Mara and the like, but also, you know, you have a cut scene where, you know, you walk through a door and Anson Mount's Pike is animated as well, that might get a variation of both of them.
Well, I'm wondering, will it be a bit like... Do you remember that episode of Fringe where they suddenly became animated because they went into like a world, like in someone's head, and they...
Yeah, you can say the name of that title, Tony, at the top of your head, and I'll give you a fiver.
Lysergic acid diathlamide.
Well done.
Thank you. I expect that
money.
I owe
you a pint.
PayPal. You know my PayPal, it's fine. But yeah, maybe we'll be like that. I mean, obviously, it's going to have to involve time travel because they're like 150 years apart or whatever, or something, 120 years apart or whatever it is. So, how's it going to work? Is the Enterprise going to go into the future and meet the Cerritos, or is the Cerritos going to come back in time and meet them? And do they end up? It's lots of questions. Is it holodeck? Are they going to do it on the holodeck? Is there going to be? Who knows? Who knows? And they haven't got a holodeck though on the Enterprise, have they? So it's got to.
They do have a holodeck on. On the Cerritos. These are the Voyagers.
Yeah. Oh God! Don't invoke that, Christ.
If they do something, they have to. They have to do something, even if it's just a joke on that. If they do a joke on these are the Voyagers, that will be.
That would be a good piss take. But isn't it going to be? Do we know if it's going to be on Strange New Worlds or on Lower Decks yet? This episode.
It's a Strange New Worlds season two, so it's already been done.
Right. So
because season two has been recorded.
So, okay, That's interesting then, because that means it's less like, is it less likely to be a piss take in that case? I don't know. Mm. But then they are doing some comedy-ish episodes on Strange New Worlds, aren't they? So maybe that's the point. Oh, it's fascinating though. It really is. Like, this is a great way to experiment with doing a really innovative crossover, I think. Really.
Yeah, and I think as I say there, it is a Strange New Worlds episode, so I think you've got to place it in that universe, like 60-40 if you're doing it in a percentage terms.
Exactly.
It's got to be more of a Strange New Worlds episode than a Lower Decks.
And I don't think it will be all of the Lower Decks cast either. I think it will be maybe the key four, maybe. You know, Mariner Boimler, Tendi Rutherford, that might be the ones who will come over, maybe. I can't imagine them all doing it.
So that made me that was so this was that was mentioned after the Lower Decks trailer aired. And we'll get your opinion on this in a minute. But so I'm fascinated to see how that's going to work. Mm. Moving on to Lower Decks, then we have the trailer for which is the new show's coming out in exactly a month's time. I think it's 24th, 25th of August.
Yeah, something like that.
So I've had a quick squint through all of it. I think we have to talk about the kind of epilogue. At the end of the trailer first. I am a Next Generation fan by heart. I love Next Generation. I used to watch Deep Space Nine when I was younger. And the first three seasons I struggled. The Way of the Warrior completely changed it for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like many people. It's just one of the best episodes of, well, double parters of Star Trek full stop. And basically Deep Space Nine appears on this trailer, if anyone hasn't seen it. I got really nostalgic at this point. Mm. And I know you're probably more of a DS9 fan than I am, but it was amazing to hear that fanfare for Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. I mean, quite apart from just the excitement of seeing DS9 again, the actual comedy was really good as well. The fact they're very slowly going around the pilot and he's like, just keep going. That's really funny. Like, that in itself is a really, really good joke. I'm really excited. I think they've listened to fans who've said, please, can you stop ignoring DS9? Because so far, they have, really. They've done a lot with Voyager. They've done a lot with TNG. Makes sense, loads with TOS. But there's been so little DS9. Apart from the Lower Decks has been quite good at it over the last two seasons. It's had moments. It's had little nods and winks and things like this. So I'm really glad they're just, even if it's only one episode, which it probably will be, I imagine, that's fine. You know, that's really good. Just show it some love. Play. There's loads of potential comedy you can do with DS9. Loads of stuff. You know, so I think bringing it back, especially given it's the darkest Star Trek show, to actually go back and have fun with it is going to be really, really nice to see, actually.
Going through the trailer, it's actually amazing. I rewatched it again this morning and just had a few notes taken and had a couple of screen grabs. I was like, ooh. Okay, so there's a few things that before we even get to the station itself in the trailer, we go to Sisko's restaurant on Earth. Mm-hmm. On the table, if you zoom in, there's a bottle of Ketracel White Hot Sauce.
<That's> brilliant. that is very good. I love that.
What else was there? Another great joke in it. It says Starfleet isn't all about being fed fruit and erotic aliens with slightly different nose ridges. We then get in here about the pilot, obviously the pylons as well. So there's a lot of like hints at Deep Space Nine before you even actually get to that. Mm. But what about the trailer itself? Overall, did you enjoy the trailer? Because the trailers for Lower Decks have been a bit up and down. Some have been really quick. Some have been kind of like sort of this style. How did you feel about this one?
I thought it was great. I think Lower Decks really ended season two so well. Like, it was really strong. Like, it was strong drama, let alone comedy. Those last few episodes are absolutely terrific. And so it's going into season three with a real spring in its step. You know, the characters are well established. It's well written. It's got a real balance of what it's trying to do. And it's just so, I mean, the posters were of this, but the trailer absolutely sells it. It is absolutely a riff on The Search for Spock in terms of the fact that Mariner she's got like the leather jacket on. They're breaking out a space dock. You know, there's even like a clash with a Klingon captain who I'm pretty sure is voiced by J.G. Hertzler because it really sounded like him in the brief moment we saw.
So Martok.
Martok. Or no, if it's not Martok, then another Klingon captain, you know, similar. So they're absolutely going to do a play. Maybe in the first episode or two, they're totally going to do a play on search for Spock, which I think is terrific. It's obviously season three, you know, and they are. So in theory, that might mean season four. They're going to do a bit of time travel and they're going to go back to Earth and like they'll do some voyage home and they'll get some whales in there again and all this kind of stuff. And I think, I think if they do that each season, I think that would be hilarious. I think if they did season five, they did like God and. You know, what does God need with the starship? All that. If they're going to do that, then man alive, this is going to be fun. So, but there was loads of good stuff in there. They had apart from the idea of the Cerritos being benched and this investigation into Pakleds. There was also some like there's going to be a spoof of the Star Trek 09 sequence with the the gliding down, and that's going to be great. So they're even doing Abrams verse sort of piss takes as well. Really good. Yeah. Like, so much fun and flavour. And, I mean, I just can't wait. I think it's going to be great fun.
Yeah, and they mentioned things like prepare yourself for Warp 10, excitement, discover the undiscovered country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as I say, the unauthorized launch, and there's an exocomp in there as well, so an exocomp in there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the Delta Flyer appears as well, briefly.
Oh, does it?
It's being chased by Romulan Warbird.
Oh, very fun. Okay. Maybe Tom Paris is coming back then. Maybe.
Well, yeah. And talking about four, if they don't do four with the belugas that they've got saying, he's coming the pond with shoes on.
<I'm dirty. laughs> they need to do that, yeah. Maybe they're going to do that as well this season.
And that's basically it. I think there was one more thing where the Kurtzman had said it was tight-lipped. This is something I read recently about Deep Space Nine standalone series. They wouldn't want to return to old characters without good reason. But they have had conversations with Sisko being a critical character. Oh. So they mentioned Sisko being a critical character. Now, they're only saying that was a title. It might have been a question being asked. It doesn't really give an indication whether or not they provide that information or it was an answer of maybe someone from the panel of a question. You know, so it might be. But the fact that they've had conversations about Sisko being a critical character potentially maybe reprising his role is interesting.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, for one thing, I can't really see a world where Avery Brooks does this again. Like, it seems so unlikely. But the tie-in novels and things have done some good stuff with Sisko, obviously. But I just don't know about that. I kind of just want them to leave it a mystery, really. I don't know if we could get anything as good as the end of DS9 with Sisko. So while I'm perfectly happy to see DS9 crop up again, because there's still plenty of shelf life potentially in that, I would leave that all behind.
I'm the same. I know we joked about it last night on our Discord saying, you know, I'd like to see Deep Space Nine, but with brand new characters. And I didn't realise that this comment had been made at that point. Mm. But at the same time, I was being a bit facetious with that. What I'd like to see is just... The one thing that I'm struggling a little bit, I think, in regards to the world building is that the world building, it is kind of separate. So there's only really Lower Decks that will go into places, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it'd be nice for... And well, I suppose there is, obviously, Strange New Worlds are doing the whole thing of like sort of going into different worlds and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see something like, you know, something as big as Deep Space Nine, you know, being visited by somebody, you know.
Yeah, that would be good.
So we'll see if that happens.
We'll see. I'd be surprised.
Finally, two shows are in development. Mm. So there's been numerous things going around about what shows are in development, which ones aren't, which ones aren't. Section 31 has been going around for about 15 years now. the Academy one was mentioned a while back. You know, we've got the new Star Trek film potentially for next year. So what do you think the two development shows are going to be?
Well, I mean, my instinct is to say it's Section 31 and Starfleet Academy, but they are a fan of animation. And it feels like they might well want to get another animated show off the ground as well, because they've got the Prodigy, I think, has done quite well. Lower Decks is obviously quite fun. So it wouldn't surprise me if one of them was animated. So I'm going to take a punt. They seem committed to Section 31, much as the longer that goes on, the less relevant that seems.
Yeah.
Really? Starfleet Academy, again, would make complete sense. But I don't know. I'm going to hedge my bets and say that maybe there's an animated show in the works, another one. So,
okay.
But we have so little to go on, and they didn't even mention the movie. Although I think I don't know if that's a separate entity. If there's different people doing that apart from Kurtzman, so it might be that they, I don't quite know, understand sometimes how all that how it's working with the film. So I don't know. Maybe they've just got nothing to say.
I'm not sure they do.
No, well, I know. And I still think their target of next summer is highly ambitious.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if we get one next summer. But we'll see.
We shall see.
There's plenty to keep us going until then.
There is. So. I mean, how many shows would that be? 7 shows? In total, wouldn't
it? It will be, yeah. So, but then it might be that Discovery will conclude before around
and Picard,
that time.
Because as well, isn't it?
Well, Picard will be finished. Discovery, I think, they might well do 7 seasons, maybe. But I it's hard to say. That's coming towards the end, I imagine, in the next few years. So, yeah. I imagine they will want to build it like Marvel, and they will have shows that overlap and interlink and things like this more and more.
Well, SDCC's... Twitter sphere this morning was mental with like sort of 4, 5, and 6 and all the kind of films, but that's for a different podcast.
Yeah, that is coming on podcast 616, our Marvel podcast. There will be a similar dissection very, very soon, so keep an eye out for that, guys.
Well, instead of it being around 45 minutes, that'll be about 5 hours.
It will need to be, I think, yeah.
But that's us. That's for us. I don't think there was anything Prodigy wise. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything there. So I think that's it, Tony. So thank you for joining me for this We Made Tricks open channel discussion. But what about you? Where can people find you online? What are you up to at the moment?
So yeah, check me out at AJ Black Writer on Twitter for links to all my podcasts and various things I'm up to, and my website culturalconversation.com. culturalconversation.co.uk, and more generally on the We Made This podcast network at we_made_this and wemadethisnetwork.com. I'm on loads of different podcasts on there, and we will be gearing up to get really going back online for season 3 of Lower Decks. We'll have a mixture of hosts and guests for that again, including myself.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
I'm jumping aboard. Ready
to
win.
Yeah, that's going to be great fun. Yeah, definitely. We'll have to try and do one together, I think.
We will.
That'd be quite fun.
Absolutely.
We'll make it work. Yeah, good stuff. So catch me around there, guys. I'll see you around the galaxy.
Excellent. You can find me on Twitter at rmuldrake. It's rmuldrake. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been great talking to you, Tony, for the last 45 minutes to discuss all things Trek. And until next time, close hailing frequencies.
Do you like music? And do you like podcasts? Chances are you like music podcasts. Take this one, for example, Pick a Disc. I'm Matt Latham, and every fortnight a guest comes on to Pick a Disc to talk about an album for any reason that they want to. They'll talk about the album as a whole, we talk about the songs, we talk about any personal stories about the album, any if they've ever seen the band live, and all sorts of other crazy tangents. And if at any point any of that made you want to listen to Pick a Disc, then you can find us on your podcast apps of choice, or on the Facebooks and Twitters and Instagram under Pick a Disc. We're also on the We Made This Podcast Network on wemadethisnetwork.com and on Twitter at we_made_this. Goodbye.